Hello, and welcome to our Children's Rights in Action podcast series. Here at Children's Parliament, we believe that children should grow up in a world of love, happiness, and understanding. It's our mission to inspire greater awareness and understanding of the power of children's human rights, and to support the implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, into Scots law. We're looking forward to sharing this with you through our conversations. Today, Sophia speaks with Lucy Power, Director of Rowan Bank Environmental Arts and Education, to learn more about their Positive Imaginings programme.
Hi everyone, good morning. My name is Sophia and I'm a project worker here at Children's Parliament. I often specifically focus on climate change and children's human rights. And today I'm joined by Lucy Power, who is the Director of Rowan Bank Environmental and Arts Education. And we're delighted to hear more about their work, with a particular focus on their Positive Imaginings Creative Climate Education program that has been running over the last few years, and the beautiful Children's Voices soundscape that they developed towards the end of last year. Lucy, would you like to tell us a little bit more about what Rowan Bank does in general, please, by way of introduction, and then we can explore a bit more about the creative output later.
Sure. So yeah, I'm Lucy, co-director of Rowan Bank Environmental Arts and Education, and I lead on our climate education programme, Positive Imaginings. So this is a relatively new programme for us. We've worked in environmental education since 2006, so a long time, and climate has always been part of what we do. However, Positive Imaginings is a programme that has been created based on what we have felt that children need coming out of COVID, faced with the dual climate and nature emergencies and suffering from climate anxiety. So the programme is based all outside. It's designed for primary school children and their teachers and their families. And it's workshops, it's a show, a promenade performance through a woodland. So we call it a climate circus, and it's teacher training.
Lovely. Thank you, Lucy. I feel like as you're talking, I'm already getting lots of different questions and ideas. I think I'd firstly love to hear what I know you're saying about COVID and the context of the climate emergency, but if there's anything that specifically inspired you or inspired you to actually kind of move this forward and start it, and then specifically why you chose to work with primary school children and what kind of motivated you through that. And then maybe after that, we can talk a little bit about the process of how it all developed and how that kind of process of working with children came about.
So, okay. Well, this project came about because we were all at home during the lockdowns, and I was at home with my two primary school age children and homeschooling them for the first time. And we freestyled a bit with our homeschooling, and I started teaching them about climate change and renewable energy and taking climate action. And I realised from looking into what was out there that lots of the resources that were available for primary school age children were classroom-based and quite subject-specific. And I felt that perhaps a more creative and outdoors approach would be better for my children at that time. So that's where the idea came from, and that's why it was for primary school children, because it started with my children. And I read a book in lockdown called The Future We Choose by Christiana Figueres and Tom Rivett-Carnac. And they had enabled the Paris Agreement to get signed back in 2015. And their book really inspired the whole Positive Imaginings project, because it was based on taking climate action, but from looking at the crises that we're in as they are, so based on sound science, and the need to take urgent action, but also as an opportunity to change the way we do things for the better. And because we were having such a mental health crisis in young people because of COVID, and then, you know, adding to that the whole climate and nature crises, I knew that when working with children of that age group, actually working with anybody, but, you know, especially working with young children, you really need to take care of their mental health. Mm. And so when we got funding for the project, we were very fortunate to get lots of different people come on board to help support the project. We took the children from Castleview Primary School, so it was the P5 to P7 children, into the woods for a series of 6 weeks of outdoor workshops, and we asked their teachers what the children most needed at that time, because we really wanted the project to meet their needs, and they said they need to play. So our project was play-based, so lots of playing in the woods, and through this process of play we introduced the themes of climate change and biodiversity loss with the children. And through learning by doing and playing in the woods, we were able to give the children the information about what was going on in the world, but in a way that wasn't threatening, that a lot of storytelling, a lot of climbing trees, a lot of making things. And we started to gather the children's ideas of what was important to them and what their ideas were for solutions, and how, like, the skills that they felt they needed in order to take action. And we took all their ideas, we gathered them together, and the children gave us their ideas in lots of different ways. So some of them told their ideas and we recorded their voices, some of them drew pictures, some of them made things, and some of them just, we just observed how they played in the forest, and they made it very clear what they thought. And we then worked with children's theatre makers, as well as environmental educators and environmental consultants, to make this show that's based on what we call the children's positive imaginings. Mm. So the show that we now tour around forests and for primary schools and community groups is based on those children in Craig Miller's ideas and what they thought was important.
That's really amazing. I feel like even as you're speaking now, I'm also getting a secondhand sort of like hopeful framing around this, because it's so easy to be overwhelmed by all the information about children's human rights and those different challenges, but then also the climate emergency and all the different challenges we face. So just having that kind of positive framing and that hopeful framing is so lovely to hear. And I love that the whole approach is underpinned by asking the children and engaging with the children from their perspective. That's really special. I think for me, one of the questions that emerged as you were speaking was whether you took any specific interests or specific learning from the involvement in the process, or if there's anything that really stood out coming from the children, any special moments, because it sounds like a really kind of fulfilling and long process. So you really, I think, special to hear what stood out for you.
There were a few things that stood out for me. The thing that springs to mind is that in one of the classes that we worked with, we had a child who was really struggling to engage in the sessions and didn't want to sit down in the group or join in the activities, and would kind of stand on the periphery and kind of walk around. And what was really nice to observe was that the class teacher didn't try to make that child come and sit down or come and join in the activities. There were just some very basic boundaries that he couldn't leave the area of the forest that we were in. But other than that, that was fine. And bit by bit, his circle got smaller and smaller, until by about week four, he was one of the most engaged children and would ask incredible questions about the climate crisis and what he could do and what his ideas were. And he would join in all the making activities. And when we shared, and we called them fireside stories, so we'd sit round what was called the children's fire, which was symbolic. It's from an indigenous community in North America, a tradition that says that the children's fire represents the commitment to take consideration of the children, take care of them, of this generation and seven generations to come. And so every week we would light this tiny children's fire in a fire bowl and tell a story. And by session five, he was sat right next to the storyteller and contributing to the story. And for me, that was a huge success on a child. He was just an example of how, through play-based, child-led learning, you can engage even the most hard-to-reach children. His background was, he was a Syrian refugee. And then there was another girl who was very low in confidence, and she realised that when she could climb this tree, that became her safe space. And I think just giving children the time and space outdoors really helps on so many levels. And I think that really like grounding connection to nature has to be the foundation. So we, in our work, we have something called the natural flight of steps, and it's taken from the Swedish forest school approach called Skogsmulle, where if you imagine a child walking up a flight of four steps, the first step is that a child spends time enjoying nature, and on the second step, they maybe start to observe nature, like the changing of the seasons and the flowers coming out. And then only on the third step to the, perhaps they start taking action to take care of their environment. And then the fourth step, perhaps more involved in campaigning to save nature, maybe. You know, there's lots of different ways we can all do that. And I think so often as educators, we jump to that third step and expect children to take care of nature without spending time on the first two steps of enjoying and observing. And those children that we worked with really showed that in action, that that's what they needed. They needed time to just enjoy nature and observe it. And through that, the natural progression is to start caring for it. So that's the foundation of what we do and of Positive Imaginings.
That's so powerful. And I think all these stories are really amazing because they are stories and they're really personal and they are absolutely from a children's human rights approach. I think that's what we would call it here at Children's Parliament. But they're really tools, I think, that anyone would be able to connect with. And I feel like they're bringing me quite a lot of hope and positivity just hearing them secondhand. I love the idea of the children's fire, but I feel like we have some similarities. That's so special to me with my specific interests as well, and the idea of it being outside in nature. But also at Children's Parliament, when we run our sessions, we always think a lot about creating space and holding space for children, that it's child-led. And there's something about the physical connection as well with that,
mm-hmm.
in addition to, you know, it's not about... And I think actually I try to say this to educators when we talk to them about children's human rights and climate change, that it's not about getting the politics and the language right, bang on, and the theory right, and being completely up to date with the science. It's more about the approach and the openness and the connections that are built. So it's so lovely to hear that in action.
There was one more example. So if you play the Children's Voices soundscape that we recorded as part of this project, it's a really lovely lesson. You'll hear at one point in it two young boys singing. They made a rap, and that was their response. That was how they decided to communicate. We didn't invite them to sing or make a song. That was just their creative response, and that came from them. Those two boys apparently don't normally work together either, so it was like this collaboration between two children that aren't like normally hanging out together, and they over 2 weeks in the forest sat up this tree creating this song that they were so proud of. And then we asked them where they would want people to listen to their voices once we'd created this soundscape, and they were like at COP26, because it was in the run-up to COP26. And so we took that challenge and we thought, oh my goodness, how are we going to get this played at COP26? And we did manage in the end. RSPB took it on as part of their Glasgow to Globe project, but then the soundscape ended up getting played on the Outrage and Optimism podcast, which is the most listened to climate podcast in the world, with over 100,000 listeners. So these children's voices from Craig Miller, from this tiny pocket of urban woodland, were suddenly listened to all around the world by so many different kinds of people. And I think when, you know, those two boys set up that tree making that song, that was like beyond their wildest dreams that they would be listened to by so many people all across the world. So that was an amazing thing, because they really have the ability to have these big dreams and these amazing ideas. And then it's our role as adults to create the space and time, like you said, and a platform for those voices to be heard, because they're really important and they've got so many important things and good things and positive things to say, as well as things that are maybe not so positive, but that really need to be heard, that are their stories.
Their experiences. And actually on our Learning for Sustainability project, that was something that came through constantly, is the children saying how passionate they were about, whether it was outdoor play and learning or if it was actually about the climate emergency, but very much saying, but adults need to match that passion. I think one of them said something along the lines of that, you know, adults need to stop just talking and actually do something. But this is what I love hearing about Rowan Bank, because it's an experience and it's about an engagement process rather than just, you know, consulting with children.
What was really nice on that project, because we had the privilege of working with these children, you know, over this, it was supposed to be 6 weeks, but it was cut to 5 weeks because of a COVID outbreak. But one of the teachers that we worked with said that they saw their class in a new light, because it was, you know, it wasn't just a one-off session. They could see the children kind of, as the weeks went on, getting more comfortable in the forest and in their play. And then from that place of comfort in a rainy, muddy forest, it doesn't sound very comfortable, cold and... But it became a place of comfort. Then their ideas, they could feel confident to share their ideas more and more. And also just, they knew their place in the system of the workshop in the forest. And from then, like, children that wouldn't normally volunteer things in a classroom setting also volunteered a lot, which is really nice to see, which I think as an outdoor practitioner, we often see the benefit of taking things outside the classroom where there's no walls. And I think the walls represent so much. It's like the boundaries of the imagination can be, you know, there's none. It's as far as it can go. And also just that creative response with the children, the different ways of communicating that were there for the kids was really inspiring.
Yeah, and I think for me and my experiences working on learning for sustainability and climate here at Children's Parliament is we do often work in schools, so we'll go into a school and consult with children there. But certainly across both climate and learning for sustainability, some of the calls to action from the children were talking about greater say in how they learn. And for learning for sustainability, there's a very strong call to action from them on engaging with outdoor learning across their whole school curriculum and having it embedded across all their learning and all their subjects. So, you know, it sounds like there's like a really strong connection there to positive learning. And I think that is quite a nice segue for me to just kind of round off now, but hear from you how best people can use the resource, whether they are educators, as we're saying, maybe in a school, maybe outside of school in a different setting, or yeah, just people who engage with children in their everyday life, because it sounds like this is something that can speak to quite a lot of people.
Yeah, good question. We also have a schools program, a subsidised schools program that we're currently raising funding for to continue. If you are a school that has a bit of funding for climate education, you can bring us in and we can run a teacher training session outdoors with your staff. And the idea behind that is we try and pass on all our ideas and tools to the teachers so that you can then run with it yourselves. But also other educators and artists can connect with us, and we are very keen to share our approach. So just connect with us on socials and you're always welcome. On our website, there's a Positive Imaginings page, and there's the soundscape, which is 1 minute long. There's a little film of the show, which is 2 minutes long. And then there's a 9 minute mini documentary about the process of making the show with the children. So actually that's the best way to, the children that I spoke about today, you'll see them in the film. Some of them were very confident and talked to the camera, and you'll hear about how we took their positive imaginings in the forest and turned it into the show.
That's amazing. Thank you, Lucy. I've learned so much today, and it was so lovely to hear the real life stories about the process of creating the soundscape, that Rowan Bank. So I will definitely be checking out the resources, and thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Following our conversation with Lucy, we are delighted to be able to share the soundscape with you now as part of this episode. So, the following soundscape was developed by Rowan Bank Environmental Arts and Education with the children of Castleview Primary School in Craigmillar and the support of sound designer Nick Paget Tomlinson. We hope you enjoy.
We're not asking asking the world leaders, we're telling them to, like, stop climate change.
I would like for people to be using more cleaner energy, and I would like the world to be more green and healthy.
Clear streets,
woods without any rubbish in them.
We need to try and help the animals in their habitats.
Lots of birds hanging about, and
maybe some extinct animals coming back.
A robot that picks up litter and then recycles it.
Bikes only on the road.
And you have to do things too, like protect this beautiful nature, because if we don't have it, then that we can't really live.
Let's plant more trees to make the earth a better place. Let's plant more trees to make the earth a better place. We can use solar energy.
And the ground energy.
Sun energy.
Water energy.
Clean energy.
And it won't have much plastic, it will all be solar powered. But that's my planet Earth. That's what I want it to be.
Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about our work, please visit www.childrensparliament.org.uk.